question. We see that in the history of India, the Muslims often destroyed many temples and did a lot of devastation of dharma. Even deities had to be taken from one place to another, or sometimes they desecrated the deities also. So why does Krishna allow all this to happen?
Because deity reciprocates sometimes with the devotees.
Yeah. So there are three distinct things over here. First is about deity specifically, then about Krishna.
Three what?
Three distinct points I'll make.
Okay.
One is about deities, second is about deity's purpose and deity's potency. Second is in general about Krishna's potency, omnipotent. Third is about human responsibility and all that. So first is that the deities are Krishna manifesting in this world for a particular purpose.
Okay.
So what is that purpose? That purpose is to reciprocate with the devotees by giving the devotees an opportunity to serve. So now, if we try to see the deities as we expect the deities to manifest Krishna's omnipotence,
okay,
then for that matter, deities, we say that from the material point of view, they don't manifest any potency. They can't even eat themselves, they can't even dress themselves, they just fix it one place. So that is, so every manifestation has a particular purpose. And we have to appreciate that manifestation in the light of that purpose. So for example, even these religionists, some religious people who, or some people of some fanatical followers of some religion, they may say that, our sacred book is sacred, it's divine. But even when the divine manifests in this world as a book, that book can be burned by people. And is it that the divinity of the book will be demonstrated by the fact that you light fire on it, it will not burn? It's not like that. Whenever the divine manifests in this world, the divinity of that manifestation is appreciated through a particular approach and attitude. So we have to read sacred books in a mood of reverence, and our intelligence will be illumined with divinity by that. If we try to put a fire test to that scripture, it's not going to work. It's going to act like ordinary paper for us. So similarly, with respect to deities, the deities are manifested for giving us an opportunity to serve Krishna. So therefore, when the deities manifest, the primary purpose is that we take the opportunity to serve. The deities are not manifesting to exhibit Krishna's omnipotence. So when somebody tries to desecrate the deities, at that time the deities Krishna simply becomes unmanifested from there.
Okay.
Because Krishna is manifest there not for exhibiting his omnipotence, he's manifest there for giving an opportunity for service. So there's no opportunity for service. If somebody is coming and desecrating, Krishna is not bound to stay over there. Krishna can become unmanifest also. The point is, we can't test the deity's divinity through whether they do something miraculous to oppose desecration, to stop desecration or not. Sometimes the deities may do that, but that is not what is the norm, and that is not what is to be expected. In general, that will bring me to I'll make the third point first then, that if the deities are desecrated, we should see this more as a failure of the human beings who had promised to serve God, not the failure of God. Because we humans had invited God to descend over here, to manifest over here, and we've said that we'll serve Him. So it is they who are manifested for us to serve. So the Kshatriyas have to be responsible. They have to actually take the responsibility of protecting the deities. There's a whole system for dharma in this world. And if the system for dharma which of this world is a material world. And we have to have material principles of management apply. Not in the sense of some managerial skills, but just the material principles. If my hand is fractured, do I expect that by chanting Hare Krishna my fracture will go away?
No.
We can say that Krishna can do anything.
Yes.
But that is not that is not what chanting Hare Krishna is meant for. We will actually go to a doctor, and the whole system of Ayurveda, which is meant for this purpose itself. So now if you look at the Bhagavad Gita itself, the Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna himself, and it is sublime, supreme knowledge. Now, at the same time, after hearing the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna fought the Kurukshetra war, he won the Kurukshetra war by the knowledge of archery that he had, not by the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita alone. The knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita gave him inspiration, direction, but he fought and he was an expert fighter because of the knowledge of archery that he had cultivated throughout his life. So the spiritual is not the substitute for the material. The spiritual is the director of the material. So Arjuna fought using his skills of expertise, which he had learned from his martial teacher. How to use it, with what consciousness to use it, that's what he learned from the Bhagavad Gita. So this whole expectation that the spiritual will act as a substitute for material, you know, that is often a expectation that may come from a philosophical misunderstanding. So the world operates by material principles. We could say the material also is under Krishna, that is true, Padrashtanamantacha. But material principles, so even when Krishna descends, he uses some people of this world. So to act in this world, agents of this world are required. And if the agents of this world are not there, then what happens? Then dharma may go away. So there is a human responsibility that is there. So if we invite deities, then it is our responsibility to take care of the deities. If you are not taking care of the deities, and then someone desecrates the deities, then we can see it as our negligence, not Krishna's not that Krishna's deity is lacking in potency. And this brings us to the broader principle of Krishna's omnipotence in this world. See, this world is a place where adharma occurs. And sometimes adharma can predominate also. If we look at the Ramayana, there's a place Ram take where there was a whole pile of bones. That's where Ram took a vow that I'll rid the world of the Rakshasas. And why did he do that? Because those bones were actually bones of the sages who had renounced the world, and they were meditating, they were doing penance, and the Rakshasas come in and devour them. So devouring people who had devoted their life to God, and God does nothing. You know, it may seem appalling. So the Rakshasas were cannibals. So whatever atrocities might have been performed in the medieval ages by some hardline followers of the Abrahamic religions, you know, if you consider the Rakshasas and what they have done, that's far, far greater. So if we have, so one is that to expect the spiritual to replace the material. And the other is to think the material to be the final. That means if we expect Krishna's protection at the material level all the time and it doesn't come, we'll become frustrated. Mm. We'll lose our faith. So at the material level, the sages were killed. Must have been a brutal death to be eaten by somebody like that. But then they had dedicated their life to God and they would have remembered God and they would have been elevated because of that. The mode of death is not as important as the purpose for which they were living. And that's what Vyasadeva also tells Yudhishthira after Abhimanyu is killed. And he says that actually this world is a place of temptation.
Okay.
And any of us may still, no matter how well we live in according to dharma, we may fall prey to temptation. Abhimanyu, although he was young, he has now gone to an abode which is beyond temptation. So in that sense, by devoting his life for the cause of dharma, he has attained a safe destination. We are still in this unsafe place, and that's why we are actually, it's not that he is to be lamented, it is our condition which is lamentable. So we have to have this spiritual vision. And Krishna's omnipotence is that he will protect our souls. If while acting for the cause of dharma, if our bodies are somehow damaged or destroyed, the soul itself is benefited, soul is purified, elevated, even liberated. And because this is Kali Yuga, sometimes that scale of atrocities or the duration of the atrocities may also be long. But at the material level, distress will come. At the spiritual level, relief can come by absorption in Krishna. And this does not mean that we simply work at the spiritual level only. It is our responsibility also to work at the material level in whatever way we can, to try to create systems for protection, systems for organization. So, when sakale neha mahata yoganashu, whenever by the passage of time, whatever is good that will decline and the bad will come up. So, if you see from the broad perspective of both Vedic history and Vedic philosophy, What happened is, it's definitely bad, it's definitely heart-wrenching, but still it is not exceptional. It is not unprecedented.
Yes.
Something that bad or worse also has happened.
Uh-huh.
And the fact is that Krishna's omnipotence is not demonstrated in this world, because the soul in this world wants to imagine that I can become God. God says you can play as long as you want. So those people who were able to be aggressors and desecrate, what we understand is that they had done some good karma in the past, because of which they were destined to have power and control. Now they could have used that power and control for a good purpose, but they chose to use their power and control for a bad purpose. So based on one's past karma, we all are given a certain kshetra, a certain sphere of influence.
Okay.
And say Hitler, by his past karma, had that speaking ability, had that charisma. And he had the capacity to influence and control and command people. But he used it for a terrible purpose. So now if an individual who by past good karma has been given influence, that person uses that for a bad purpose now. Then depending on how much our kshetra is, how much our sphere of influence is, we can influence that much, either in a good way or a bad way. And some people do it in a terrible way. And then those who are victimized by that, we understand two things. We are not heartless. From this life's perspective, it was a great atrocity for them. And if we have the power, we should do whatever we can to try to help them, in those who are going through injustice like that, going through atrocity like that. But from the multi-lifetime perspective, we understand that those who are victimized, they had done something, some karma in the past, because of which they had to go through all this. But if they suffered for the cause of dharma, then they will be elevated by that. So that way, we can see everything in philosophical light, at the same time also acknowledge the practical reality. So in today's world, there is danger for dharma, and we have to work at whatever level we have the capacity to. So if we are primarily scriptural teachers, then we work as brahmanas and create spiritual awareness, create philosophical awareness among people. So if by Krishna's arrangement we have the inclination or the capacity for engaging in other ways, in influencing the government, influencing broader society, and then we can do that also. So our principle is to serve, and the service has to be at a practical level. But how the practical level we will do, that can vary according to person to person. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.